Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
April 25th.
Two local morning DJs return to the KLOS airwaves. You know them better as...
We're Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian. Yeah.
Pull your pants up.
Miniature fan, huh?
I am Fabio.
You are sick.
I love my family.
Cootie.
You know, we're doing about the drunk and driving thing.
Shorter the ride, the longer the car.
We on the radio?
Yes.
Let me make it perfectly clear.
Of the brave.
It's really happening. The Mark and Brian 50th Anniversary Reunion Show. Thursday, April 25th, 3 to 7.
Once again, and one time only.
Is this really Mark and Brian?
Yes.
How cool.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you didn't run.
Well, good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody in the room today. Got my putty in. This is Steve Silva.
How y'all doing out there?
Producer Zach.
Hello.
Yes, it's a smorgasbord today, so we got together we are Your Weekly Dose. I am your host, Sean Roberts. And as always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County every Saturday morning.
Of course, we've got something going on. This is really cool. I like it today. We're having
good
fun.
Day.
Everybody's going to have a good time.
Is that edible kicked in yet, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Well, thank you for joining us every week. I'd love to have you here. It's a little odd outside, but we're glad you're here.
It's a little overcast, yeah.
Yeah, part of the family. And if it's the first time listening or you're a new listener, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, I saw our numbers went up about another five people, so that's great.
Woo! That makes it, what, about 17?
I think so now, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
No, we're actually about like over 550 people.
Craig Shoemaker would be surprised.
Craig would be amazed on how far we've come, so. Yeah. Yeah, we've got a big show for you guys today. Of course, right now we're playing the theme song, Got to Get You in My Life by the Beatles, because you know what? It's 420 day today.
It sure is.
And I had no idea that this song was about marijuana. I had no clue.
Wow.
Yeah, I was totally amazed. I was like, don't move my mic though. Anyway, so we got a Mark and Brian past moments with us. We'll be doing Catching Up. We'll be talking about the passing of Jay Giles and Georgina Engel. Giving you some cannabis facts also. And, of course, 10:30, we got an interview with the great Pamela Holt.
Now, is that the Pamela Holt? Who's the Pamela Holt that sang with Barry Manilow?
The very one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, she's world famous.
She is very famous.
Yeah, just look at her bio.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Oh, my God, Steve.
Now...
Thank you, Zach.
Don't forget to interact with the show. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, our website, yourweeklydose.com, at yourweeklydose1, Facebook. Email us, weeklydose.
You sound so enthused reading it.
You can download the show for free from the website.
It's like reading his grocery list.
iTunes, podbean.com. I am reading a grocery list. iHeartRadio, Oranges, Google Play.
Oranges.
Rice, Stitcher Radio, and meatballs.
What did I?
Oh, I've got the spaghetti. I just need the meatballs.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And don't forget to rate and review the show as well.
That's very important. Absolutely. And, of course, don't forget we do have our sponsor, Amazon. Go out there. Go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Don't forget to click on the banner and then bookmark it. Very important because that way when you shop, they give a little bit of love back to us. And we stay on the air.
At Amazon.
At Amazon, exactly.
So, Ivy!
And, of course, Mark and Brian, Radio Hall of Fame, we're waiting to find out if we got them in or not. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this coming Thursday on KLOS, they will be doing their reunion show. So we're very, very excited. Mark is flying in. I was listening to his podcast yesterday. And so there won't be a Mark and Linda podcast Friday because he'll be in town. So it'll be So it'll be good. I can't wait to hear the guys together again for the first time. It'll be really, really good. So in celebration of that, you know, Tiger Woods also just won the Masters.
Isn't that amazing?
That's great. It's a great comeback.
I thought he was gone. I really
I think a lot of people did because he didn't do do anything for so long.
Yeah, like, and when he'd play, he wasn't all that stellar.
And he had back problems and everything and so forth. So,
well, he got it together last weekend.
He did. He really did. And so in honor of Mark and Brian, in honor of Tiger Woods, we're going to do this past moment for you with Debbie the volleyball player.
Now, if you're counting, the unofficial number of alleged Tiger mistresses is around 10.
Ugh.
With several more waitresses and a porn star being added to the list, each woman is choosing how and when to go public in order to maximize publicity and possible monetary gain. In what might be producer Ted's biggest get to date, one of Tiger's alleged mistresses has decided to go public right here on our show. Good morning.
Hi, guys. It's me, Debbie, the ex-Olympic volleyball player.
Yeah, hi, Debbie.
Hi. It's true. Yeah. I had an affair with Tiger once.
Did you?
I was the other woman. Well, to be more accurate, I was his other woman. Get it?
I get you.
Because there's so many whores.
Right. Right.
What was Tiger supposed to do? Mm. I mean, have you seen his wife? Mm. She's a real horse face.
Wow.
It's like Sarah Jessica Parker and had sex with a sea biscuit. I mean, you can't blame Tiger for wanting me. Mm. I mean, I'm pretty, sweet, a young thing like me. Mm. I'm a delicate flower with soft petals, an inviting stem, and a hairy back. To show his love, he'd buy me all sorts of romantic, expensive gifts, like cargo pants, a power drill, the season 3 DVD of Becker. We like to play sexy games in bed. Tiger's favorite was when I would hold his head under the covers and rip a big fart, and he'd guess what I ate for lunch. Tiger guessed correctly like 90% of the time, but it wasn't too hard, since the answer was always meatloaf. He never lasted very long, but that's not his fault. Mm-mm. When Tiger came over, I'd be wearing something really sexy, like a Snuggie and a pair of Crocs.
It's really hot, that look.
He, like I said, he never lasted really long in bed. But sometimes he would spend hours trying to chip it out of my rough. And by rough, in this case, I mean my lady business. We had cute little pet names for each other.
Did you?
Yeah. I would call him Tiggy Poo. He would call me Huge Bitch. I have more than 300 sexy Texas messages from Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, messages like, thanks for the poke, you huge bitch. And, hey, huge bitch, my other skanks are out of town, want to bang.
Very sexy.
And you almost ripped off my wang with your stinker last night. That was huge, you huge bitch. He's so sweet. Oh, get ready, boys, because I'm currently weighing offers.
Yeah.
For several different publications to pose nude.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be naked.
Yeah.
So far, the leading contender is San Diego Zoo Magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiger's lawyers might try to pay me a lot of money to keep me quiet, but to be honest, I don't want his millions.
No?
I just want his love and the name of his trainer. Tiger's sponsors haven't abandoned him, and neither will I. Just do it, Tiger. And by it, I mean my Buick-sized dirty place. Well, it's good talking to you guys.
Oh, Debbie, good talking to you.
Christmas, y'all check out.
Absolutely, we'd love to see you there.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Ah, well, boy, I'm broke right here. Another one. That makes 11, I guess.
I guess 11 now?
Crazy.
He whiz, Tiger.
Crazy. Come on, man.
And there you go, man. That's another reason to get these guys into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the wonderful characters. I love W, the volleyball player.
Yeah.
Jeez.
My Buick-sized dirty place.
Oh.
What the hell?
Oh, exactly. Well, let's catch up with each other real quick. So what you got, Steve?
Well, I went and had a hearing test.
Oh.
You know, with all the problems I've been having, my allergies, it messed my head up, and I couldn't hear.
Uh-huh.
Like, the pressure from my sinuses just totally blocked off my hearing completely. So for a while, it was like I was deaf. It's really weird.
I know. I kept giving you hand signals and everything. And
I know.
Luckily,
yeah.
You understood.
That's the only one I can understand.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I wasn't below your waist, wherever that is. I ain't working now.
I'll put it over my pants.
Anyway, so my doctor, when I went to my doctor, it was about 5 weeks ago, I was completely closed off. I had no hearing on the left side. And just barely on
anything
the right,
on the right.
You know.
Well, I know,
so,
we would sit at the table, you know, for show prep, and
yeah.
It's like we talk to you, and you're like, huh?
You have to yell at me. Anyway, he was behind the left side trying to see, and he was snapping his fingers and talking to me, and I was like, what? I didn't hear any
there.
Of it. So he decided it was a bit radical to lose my hearing that badly. So he had me, first of all, I had a CT. For my sinuses.
CT scan, yeah.
And, excuse me. Then he, I went to this hearing place down on Beach Boulevard to have a hearing test to see how bad it was. Well, between then and when I went to the hearing test, I was using some medication that kind of helps with some nose spray and then pseudoephedrine and ibuprofen and
did any of it
antihistamine.
Help?
Well, it seems to have because... After about 4 weeks of using the medication stuff, my ears started to crackle and become less pressure and stuff. So by the time I got to the hearing test, my hearing was like I could at least converse with people.
Oh, that's
but
good.
They gave me the hearing test and said that my hearing was like really bad.
Worse than normal.
Worse than, yeah.
Got it.
So they're making me, what are those things you put in ears so you can hear?
Hearing aids?
Hearing aids,
good,
yeah.
Good Lord.
This is what I got to deal with on a weekly basis.
But you're, like you're always right there for me. I love that.
I'm right here, always.
Anyway, they're going to...
Pointing in laughing.
This is like a commercial on TV. We can fit you with these hearing aids at no cost to you.
Your I'm soul, like, please.
Well, yeah, because you're
okay,
over 65. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, I'm like, well, my hearing is improving. You know, we don't think it's going to improve that much.
And AARP will cover it.
And I'm like, you know what? Okay.
Steve doesn't know why.
She was like, well, you know, if you're embarrassed, well, oh, I don't care about wearing them. I just care about whether they're really needed. She goes, well, it's no cost to you, and we think you're needed. And I go, okay.
Right.
So if my ears disappear again like they did before, I've got something to
for it
put
cool.
in. So that's
about,
my life.
How about you, Zach? How was your week?
Good. No more bee problems for me. Man, that was such a nightmare, but glad that's over. I ended up seeing Us the
oh,
other
yeah.
day. That was a really, really trippy movie. We were talking, me and Sean, you and I,
yeah.
before the show about Jordan Peele doing the Twilight Zone and how the Twilight Zone was a big deal back in those days, and it was just such a trippy concept. It really feels like Jordan Peele for me is like, what do you say? What was the name of the guy that did the Twilight Zone?
Rod
back
Sterling.
Then? Yeah, he's like the new Rod Sterling. And that movie, Us, felt like a 2-hour Twilight Zone episode. Ooh. It was really, really cool, though. But, yeah, I didn't really do much. I got sunburned really bad. Somehow I managed to get sunburned inside my armpit. And that's a new kind
of
hurt.
I know. I saw the picture of you posting that or whatever on your personal Facebook. I'm like going, I'm not even going to ask.
I don't even. Oh, you know what? I think I know why. Because I have my backpack on, and I was kind of holding the straps. Maybe somehow the sun just decided to go right there where my straps were.
Reflected off of something and went up underneath the carriage there.
Yeah, so that's I discovered new kind of hurt.
Hey,
armpit sunburn. And that's all. And that's all I got to say about that.
It's been actually been a quiet week for me this week, actually. So nothing really new, or anything except that. Well, we can announce it later, but I'll say it right now. I got to talk to Larry Saltis of the New Monkees the other day, and so he'll be on the show on the 27th. So it'll be good. And talking about his new band, Colorvine, and it was kind of cool because Loverboy, I think it is actually looking them to open up for them.
Oh, cool!
So, and then to boot, they're talking to Doc McGee, the famous manager who managed Motley Crue, Bon Jovi,
Scorpions,
ooh. Kiss, you know, and possibly talk. And Doc might manage them to go out on the road and everything. Kind of like, well, do you need a roadie? You know, like
really?
I could guitar tech.
Three of us right here.
I could guitar tech.
Maybe four.
You never know.
Maybe
so five. Yeah. So we'll have Larry on. So that I got to talk to Larry the other day. So it was a good conversation. So.
Cool,
Larry.
Cool. That'd be fun.
It was neat. So that's about it for me. So.
Oh, I had a travel agent.
What's that?
I found a travel agent
for
my upcoming trip. So that was fun. Got me a good deal on flights. So.
Well, let's drink to that.
We'll talk about that when I get back.
Well, better yet, we can smoke to it because of what today is.
Well, I've already
yes, you have.
Celebrated
yes.
today.
Yeah, we had some edibles and, earlier this morning. So
it's kind of starting to feel good.
Already?
Yeah.
Already.
Here, Steve. Yeah. Have a drink.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, we have to pass on some bad news, though. It's never good, and unfortunately, it keeps getting worse and worse. But guitarist Jay Giles passed away recently. I was very surprised by this. I didn't realize how old he was, though. Basically, his name was John Warren Giles Jr. Of course, better known as Jay Giles from the guitarist of the Jay Giles Band. He was found dead in his home in Gorton, Massachusetts, this past Tuesday. A preliminary investigation indicates that he died of natural causes. He was 71, dude.
Jeez. That's not much.
2 years older than you, brother.
I know. What's going on here?
They're dropping like flies.
Yes, they are.
Steve, stay with us for a while.
Yeah. The Jay Giles Band basically released a slew of albums during the 70s and early 80s with vocalist Peter Wolfe at the helm. The band became best known for singles like this one. I'll crank it. There you go. So, yeah, Centerfold, Love Stinks, Comeback, and Freeze Frame, which has since become rock radio mainstays. On Facebook, Wolf shared a short message about his former bandmate, writing, "Thinking of all the times we kicked it high and rocked down the house, R.I.P. Jay Giles." Outside of the Jay Giles Band, Giles remained busy as a musician, and in the mid-90s, he released two albums with his band, Blues Time, and then during the 2000s, he returned to his jazz roots with three solo records.
Well, how about that?
So, that's how it looks. I mean, I didn't know that he did that separately. You know. Mm-hmm. But, oh, okay, crank this up. This is good.
Angel is a centerfold. My lover is cold. My has just been sold.
Angel is a centerfold. Okay, that would be Jay Giles right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking if somebody formed a cover band for this, they could be the Jay Giles Band Jr.
Oh.
Play on.
Or they could just be called Centerfold.
Centerfold.
I like Freeze Frame.
Or Freeze Frame. Freeze Frame. Freeze Frame actually worked for a cover
band. Freeze
Frame? Yeah.
Freeze Frame.
Good afternoon. We're Freeze Frame.
Well, also, stage and screen veteran Georgia Engel passed away also at 70.
Oh, come on. It's getting too close.
Of course, she was a signature warm candidate, could be heard on stage and screen in the late 60s. She passed away on April 12th, though perhaps best known for her work on such sitcoms as Mary Tyler Moore Show and Everybody Loves Raymond. She earned a total of 5 Emmy nominations between the two. She actually began her career on Broadway as a replacement in the original production of Hello, Dottie at the age of 21. She played the shop assistant, Minnie Fay, sharing the stage with both Phyllis Diller and Ethel Merman in the title role.
Wow, that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So, and she did a number of different things, including Betty White Show, Good Girls, Jennifer Slept Here, and then kind of went back into Broadway again and kind of going back and forth. She said, I love good comedies, that I love just being in the presence of someone who is a master at it. So that was a quote she gave. And we got a little clip of her, right?
Ted, I think there's something we have to settle about our relationship.
My funny Valentine. Sweet comic Valentine. You make me smile with my heart.
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
What?
I think you should go home now, Ted.
Okay, if that's the way you want it, that's the way you're going to get it. I have to stay around here, you know. Plenty of fish to fry in the ocean. So long, baby. Thanks for the memory.
The memory.
I don't want to go. I said I wanted to go, but I don't really want to go. I lied.
You did?
Don't make me go, Georgia. I can change. Just tell me what it is you want me to do, and I'll do it.
Well?
Grow some balls.
I don't want to do your laundry anymore. I'll match your socks, but I don't want to do your laundry.
Okay, baby. What else?
I don't want you to call me baby anymore. I'm not a baby.
All right. What do you want me to call you? Let's see this. Cookie? Bunny? Lambkins, Angel Puss, Ducky. And if you don't like any of those, I'll have Murray come up with something.
Georgette. I want Georgette.
But that's so long.
It's what I want. It's my name.
Okay, Georgette.
Ted, there's one more thing.
What is it?
You never told me you loved me.
Well, that's not an easy thing for me to say.
Why?
Well, because when I said it before to people, no one ever said it back.
Been there.
I'll say it back.
You will?
I promise.
Okay. I love you.
And I love you, Ted.
You do. You want me to say it again? I love you, Georgette. Want me to say it without moving my lips?
I love you.
Want me to say it like Lowell Thomas? This is Lowell Thomas saying, I love you.
So wonderful.
Oh, there you go. Georgina Engel. Such a great actress.
Great programs back then, yeah.
But I think with her voice, it'll be kind of hard because when she would get pissed off, it's like, how can you take her seriously?
Like Minnie Mouse yelling at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my.
Exactly. Well, of course, we all know that today is 420. And everybody's celebrating, including Steve.
Again, yes.
Of course, Steve celebrates every day.
If I can.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, seriously, I did not know that our theme today was written about marijuana.
Is there more of a story? Of
well, yeah. So in Barry Miles' 1997 book, Paul McCartney, many years from now, McCartney disclosed that the song was about marijuana. He said, Got to Get You Into My Life was the one I wrote when I first had been introduced to pot. So it's really a song about that, not a person. Of course, many lyrics from the song suggest that, you know, taking a ride and so forth, yeah. What have you. He goes, it's actually an ode to pot, McCartney explained, like someone else might write an ode to chocolate or a good claret. So
I guess what they're saying is that the Beatles did
smoke pot.
Drugs?
They did drugs.
Oh, yeah. No. What?
Yeah.
The benefit
man.
Of Mr. Kite wasn't just imagination?
Oh, no, that actually was because of a poster. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. That was a little bit everything. Yeah.
Good choice, though. But it didn't work. That's okay.
Well, hey, how do you know? Hey,
well, you know. But you know what? But today, though, the cannabis industry is poised for the biggest 420 yet, though. Especially since it falls on a Saturday. It's kind of like today's kind of like their Black Friday for cannabis sales. Yeah.
Sort of a green Saturday.
Yeah. So now, do you know where the origin of 420 came from?
Yes, I do.
I think I do, but I'm sure mine's the wrong answer.
I thought it was one thing, and it actually ended up being another.
Yeah.
I thought it was Hitler's birthday. I swear I thought it was.
It's
not connected to it.
It has something to do with Hitler, but that's not why it.
No. No, it has nothing to do with Hitler.
Okay, yeah. Well. I'm not good at it.
Yeah. Apparently, the concept of 420 was widely accepted to have begun inside joke among the group of San Rafael, California high school students in the 1970s who chose 420 p.m. as a time to meet after school and look for what they believed was to be a mythical crop of hidden cannabis.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a stone thing to do.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They just decided that was the time.
That was the time to do it. Yeah, basically. The code word later made its way into the mainstream vernacular after members of the band The Grateful Dead, Kofig.
The Grateful Dead did drugs?
Surprise, Steve.
My God, what's this world coming to?
Who were acquainted with several steps removed from the students, and the editor of the Cannabis Culture publication began to use the term. So,
the first time you used that sound effect, I was going, what's making that noise? What is that?
Sorry.
So what do you think is more popular, though? Smoking it or the edibles?
Steve, you had an edible. Take this one.
Everybody I know that smoked pot in the past, almost all of them are getting into edibles.
Uh-huh.
It's so dangerous.
Now, some people don't like how long it takes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people still smoke, but there's better ways of doing it than smoking now, because a friend of mine has a company, they make oil, and yep. You put it in an e-cigarette.
That's what I have.
Exactly. So, basically, Americans increasingly purchasing edibles, particularly to satisfy the sweet tooth, as well as topical lotions and balms. Mm-hmm. So over the last six months, sales of sweet edibles such as candy, ice cream have grown 50%. Topical lotions and balms have jumped more than 150%. Mm-hmm. As far as traditional joints, it only covers 10% of sales in the overall. So people go to the places, you know, right. To get their stuff. Only 10% of sales is actually the joints themselves.
Wait, there's ice cream?
Yeah. You can also have it delivered to your door.
Hey, yeah.
That's how I got Steve's edibles yesterday.
A whole bunch of different delivery sources now.
And apparently... they're saying that more women are starting to use edibles than men now.
Yeah. Smoking can be harsh.
It can be. Well, remember when we were talking to Michael Nesmith?
Hello, harsh.
And his friend, the pedal steel player, was saying that he had trouble, you know, smoking it, but he would grow it, you know, and everything in the closet. But then,
right.
And then Mike told him about the edibles and everything. They mixed it with the peanut butter. And so.
Peanut yeah. butter. Ooh.
Peanut butter
I had
green.
Mustard infused.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. We got to get some more.
Thank you, Kat.
Now I want peanut butter infused marijuana ice cream.
Yeah.
But it seems that the biggest ticketers for selling cannabis, though, have been in Canada.
Hey?
More the bigger companies that are harvesting it and selling
right.
it and everything, for whether it be for recreational or medicinal or whatever, the majority of them I'm looking at it, it's like, what, 1, 2, 3... 4 or 5 different companies in Canada. So they're the ones that are really
they're a little less uptight in that country than some of this country.
Really? Now you got some facts though, right?
Well, I've got some fun facts. As if cannabis by itself wasn't fun. Ha ha. Here we go. Now, this is interesting. You know, we all have relatives that some we talk about, some we keep hidden.
Right.
Well, cannabis has a cousin.
It does?
Yeah. Beer.
No shit.
Yep. Beer hops are in the same family as flowering plants as cannabis.
Wow. As what?
You know.
No, tell me, Steve.
Cannabis.
This is going great.
And it's getting greater by the moment.
Greater.
All right. Okay. Now, legalizing. My paper keeps moving. Legalizing cannabis would generate... really?
I love it. As he's discovering it, he's reading.
Legalizing cannabis would generate $8.7 billion in federal and state tax revenue per year.
That's a lot of money.
Good Lord. Now, cannabis has been legal for personal use in Alaska since 1975 and still legal today.
Wow.
Cannabis-derived compound forces cancer cells to freeze. Freeze frame. Yeah. And keep them from spreading. We need to learn more about this. What?
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it says. Deschedule cannabis already. Took me a moment to read that word.
I think it takes you a moment to read any word right now.
Yes, it is. Now, oh, this is interesting. George Washington grew cannabis at Mount Vernon.
Did he now?
A little different than the cherry tree story.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, Dad, I didn't cut down the cannabis plant.
But he did cut down the cherry tree.
He did cut down, yeah. Cannabis, and that's none of that's true. Cannabis is legal and is not even classified as a drug in North Korea.
Ooh, let's move there.
Wow.
Because everything happy happens there.
That's what all the people should grow and eat. Uh-huh. California was the first U.S. state to ban cannabis 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
California. Okay, in Colorado... In Colorado, recreational cannabis dispensaries outnumber Starbucks locations 3-1.
That's not bad.
That's
pretty good.
Awesome. That's not really a surprise, though.
We should do the show from there, then.
What?
We should do the show from there.
That's a good idea. Or a local Starbucks.
Nah.
Or no.
Okay. I only got two left.
Oh, good.
Yeah, exactly. The first thing ever bought and sold across the internet was a bag of cannabis around 1971.
No.
Rumor has it, Stanford students bought it from MIT students.
No kidding.
And based on geography, we would have imagined it'd be the other way around. And our very favorite fact slides fact about cannabis. Okay. Bob Marley was...
I love when he stops in mid-sentence. Isn't this great? Great. This is a great, great radio.
Do, do, do. No. Bob Marley was... I didn't know this. Bob Marley was buried with his red Gibson guitar, a Bible open to Psalms 23, and a cannabis bud.
Well, yeah, I would expect that.
Rastaman.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. I wonder if he's smoking that ganja now.
I'm sure he is. All right.
Buffalo Soldier.
Well, our guest today was born here in Southern California, but grew up on the island of Oahu, Hawaii. Her roots are in theater, and she continues to perform and direct musical theater while acting in TV and film. She sold her first independent and self-produced film, The Three Amigas, at the Cannes Short Corner. Most of us here in Southern California really didn't know our guest until she sang a duet with the great Barry Manilow, which was recorded live at the Hollywood Palladium for the KLOS Mark and Brian Christmas show. It's referred to as one of the most memorable moments in Mark and Brian history, and that recording can also landed on a spot on the M&B charity CD Little Drummer Boys. Her most recent single, The Man with the Bag, is available on iTunes right now, with all profits going to the families affected by the California wildfires. So please welcome to the show, Mark and Brian, listener, and now friend to this program, Miss Pamela Holt.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for having
Pamela.
Me.
Louder, 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 bigger crowd.
Woo! Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. How you doing, Pamela?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Honoring Mark and Brian, which I'm so excited that I'm keeping positive thoughts. They are definitely going to get in the Radio Hall of Fame.
I think they are. If you've been listening to Mark's podcast, too, he's been having meetings with the president of the Radio Hall of Fame, and he was even surprised. He goes, really? You guys aren't in yet? You know? I was like, I thought you guys were already in. He's like, no. What's hard, I think, this time is that normally people who are nominated are still on the air.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, here's the funny part, though, is that the Radio Hall of Fame has only been around for the last 30 years. But yet there's over 100 years worth of radio to try and catch up with.
Right.
So they got a long way to go to try and catch up to all this stuff. But I think they'll get it. I think
of course the original radio was all, hello? Anybody out there?
Exactly. And it was with the tin cans, too, to boot. Yeah. So, yeah. So let's take it from the top with you, Pamela. Born here in Southern California, grew up in Hawaii. How long were you in Hawaii?
I was in Hawaii until I graduated high school.
Okay.
And then came out to California. I went to a junior college up in San Luis Obispo and then transferred into UCLA.
You went to Cuesta?
I did.
So did I.
You're kidding.
No. Oh, my God. Around.
Oh, it's great.
That's awesome.
San Luis is such an amazing area. And love my niece just accepted into Cal Poly chemistry yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be back up there around my old stomping ground.
Yeah. And then, what years were you there?
Way after you, Steve.
That doesn't mean anything.
Way after you.
And
it
then,
had to be. I was there in the 70s, so. Yeah.
Just a little after that.
Yeah.
And then, I went to UCLA. And when I got out of UCLA, I got lucky, super lucky. My first audition, mm-hmm. which is quite a story. My first audition I booked and became SAG, and it was in Decent Proposal.
With Robert Redford.
Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson.
Wow.
I played Woody Harrelson's girlfriend.
I got to go back and watch that movie now.
Now, don't be late or blink. You might just miss me, but I am singing at the top.
Wow. Can you look that up, Zach?
That's cool.
Yeah. Right, we got to check that out then.
All right, yeah.
Okay. So, obviously got into the whole acting thing. When did you get into singing?
Well, actually, at UCLA, one of the head of the film department guys had a rock band,
uh-huh.
and he had wonderful music, and somehow I ended up singing backup for them. We got looked at by Island Records. We used to gig out. We used to gig out at, like, the Whiskey, the Roxy, Club Lingerie, all around Hollywood.
Oh, wow. You're talking about, you're bringing back memories for me.
Yeah.
Cat House.
It was really fun. I would never sit down on the couches. Ever. It was.
Oh, no, because you. No,
in the green room.
There's only reasons why you would sit down on the couch, and that's because either you were in the mood.
Right.
And that was it.
I did.
Because you never know what you could find on those couches.
Our drummer had a whole family of kids, this guy Rick, and I used to go and I would set up his drums because he would always get there right before the gig. So I was a roadie /
wow.
Yep, band member.
Well, there you go.
And then eventually the lead singer left and I became the lead singer.
Wow.
And so that was fun. And then during that, I joined a gospel choir.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I don't know, between the two of them, between singing rock and gospel,
mm-hmm.
I really became a singer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'd always sung musical theater and actually... Mm. This is a funny story. I lived down the street from the Jacksons when I was younger,
uh-huh.
and they gave me my first tips on singing.
Really?
Yes. It was the girls. It was some of the guys' girlfriends and some uh-huh. of the girls in the family. And I would sit there and sing Judy Garland or or Barbra Streisand for them. And they're like, here's some music for you to listen to. Handing me Aretha Franklin and yeah. Diana Ross. And that's where I learned
You're
how
to too
sing.
White. Oh, let's, right. let's black you up a little
exactly.
bit.
Yeah. Exactly. Add a little soul.
A little less Perry Como and, you know, and, yeah.
Yes.
A little more Lou Rawls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of cool because you definitely have led an interesting life overall.
I've done a lot of traveling. I'm actually going to hit my 80th country this August.
Wow. Where are you going?
I'm going to watch the sunrise over Angkor Wat in Cambodia for my birthday.
Really?
Yes. And I'm going to go to Bali, Vietnam, and I'm one other place. Haven't decided yet.
Wow. That's kind of cool, though.
Jelly.
Yeah, no kidding. So you did the Hollywood Strip basically for a number of years then?
Yeah, a couple of years, just in college, and then a little bit after.
Mm-hmm.
It was sporadic, but great training ground. Just being out there, and then getting to hear the bands that were after us.
Uh-huh.
There weren't many before us. We opened for everyone. And seeing just their process.
It was a good way to cut your teeth, basically overall.
Yes, yeah. On stage and vocally.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if her and Stacy ever crossed paths.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Stacy Wilson? You know who Don Wilson is?
No.
Don Wilson is one of the founding members of the Ventures. It's his daughter, Stacy.
Okay.
Because Stacy would go down often to the Hollywood Strip during that time period, too, and everything. So,
yeah.
And she got to know some of the big cats.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, now let's kind of get into the biggest memory and partially why you're here.
Yeah.
The guys had called up Barry Manilow. Because as they would do throughout the year, a musical guest would come on. They would invite them to come back on the show to do the Christmas show. And basically, I don't remember how many girls auditioned for it. But it came down to where the listeners, like all of us that were listening, voted you in to sing the duet with Barry.
Yes. And that was actually an interesting story because my sister Kathy, she actually called me and said, hey, this radio station, KLOS, is looking for singers. And she said they're auditioning on Thursday. So
you didn't even know Mark and Brian up until that point then? Or?
I did. I knew them, but I didn't.
You weren't a listener then?
I was a listener, but not all the time. I was
okay.
In college.
Gotcha.
You're generally sleeping.
Other things to do.
And, yeah. So she told me that they're holding auditions. So I get up and put on my little red turtleneck and head down to the station at 4:30 in the morning. And do you remember Officer
Quarterman?
Yes. Yeah. Officer Quarterman was sitting there and he let me just sit in the waiting hall because you had to have badges and everything.
Right.
And Mark and Brian walked by me and they literally looked at me like, who's that? What is she doing here? And eventually, around 8:30, I sat there for 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Around 8:30, because they said, you know, you're supposed to call in, not actually show up.
But oh, that's funny.
They felt bad, so they had me come back into the booth, into the studio, and sing live, which, let's face it, live versus calling in.
Yeah, it's a total different aspect
of
it.
It was. Oh, wow. Yeah. So
you got an edge there then.
I did. And then ultimately, you know, there were callbacks.
Right.
Whatever. And yeah, the listeners picked me. It was so exciting.
How nervous were you? Because it was almost like a week by week kind of a thing. Of the listeners trying to pick, you know, who the person is.
I came in towards the last bit.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time they told me that I had the gig, I had about 12 days to learn the song. And they even say it in the interviews, learn it, live it.
Right, right.
Memorize it. And I didn't meet Barry until the night before. We had a rehearsal. At the Hollywood Palladium. And I just have to say something about him. They were looking everywhere for him. I think they had sent a car for him and the driver had mentioned, you know, he's not here. They're looking all over and all of a sudden, this voice way in the rafters, he goes, oh, hi, I'm just here. I've been here for about an hour, just hanging out. And everybody looks up and they're we sent a car for you. He goes, oh, no, no, I know how to drive. That's okay.
That's funny.
He was the most low-key, just didn't need to be taken care of,
right.
Kindest person. He set the tone for me in this business.
Wow.
He really did. He was so nice.
How much time did you get to spend with Barry, though? I mean, with just the rehearsal or?
We ran through the song maybe 1.5 times. We ran through it. We topped and tailed it and then ran it once. And that was it.
Wow.
Yes.
How nervous were you at that point?
I wasn't nervous at rehearsal because I don't think I had sunk in yet.
Uh-huh. You're still absorbing everything in there.
Yes. At the show, now that's something different. I got to bring one guest. It was my sister Kathy, and I put her right in front. So I had something to sort of focus on.
Right.
And Steve Lukather came up to me, and he literally was like, how nervous are you? Are you nervous? Which, of course, I'm getting more. And Steve Lukather is the guitarist from Toto. Yeah. I'm getting more nervous. And he literally turns me around by my shoulders and kicks me up, and I literally fall onto the stage where no one can see me. And that's
really
how I got in. And I have a zero recollection of the entire song accepted the point where I said, my sister will something, something. And I point to my sister. And that's the only memory I have, except for the pictures.
Uh-huh.
Which actually, wow. I put a bunch of pictures up on my Facebook page. It's it's Pamela Holt, actress.
Okay.
Facebook is Pamela Holt, actress. Okay. And I had to look at those pictures to remember. So I was so nervous.
Wow.
And then when I did another Christmas show, I saw Steve Lukather. I was like,
did you kick him back?
We need to have a talk. Yeah. he didn't remember, but it was.
But that's Steve, though, too.
It was. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helped me because it took me out of being nervous and I had to focus on
the moment itself.
Yes. And so everything. It worked.
Oh, that's funny. Well, let's play a little bit of that, which is the famous song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Nice. All right. Now
you got to tell them the story, Mark.
We're going to now. About 2 weeks ago. No, I guess it was a month ago. We called Barry on the air. We said, Barry, there's another song on your Christmas album called "Baby It's Cold Outside" that you do a duet with KT Osland. Uh-huh. Now, would you please allow us to pick a female listener from the people that listen to us? And you do it with her on the Christmas show. Reluctantly, he said, okay. We went through for 2 weeks. We listened to a ton of different ladies sing. We got down to two. There were finals. You, the listeners, chose this young lady. And her name is...
I'm bringing her out.
Pamela Holt.
Very lucky to meet Pamela.
Now, as soon as Pamela was chosen, we got on the phone with her and said, get a copy of the song, learn it, live it, know it, sleep with it, which is what she has done. Last night was the very first night they ran through this together, so we put it up to you. Enjoy now, Barry Manilow, listener Pamela, with Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Well, honey buns, it's been fun, but gotta run.
Oh, sweet lips. Come on, stay a little while longer, won't you?
No, it's really late. I should be going.
Oh, come on, darling. It's really so cold outside. You'll catch a death of cold. I would never forgive myself. Think of the Jewish guilt that I would feel.
Yeah. Nah, I shouldn't.
Oh, come on. Just one more nightcap. Come on, sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Oh,
well.
Don't make me beg again.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
so
been
so lucky that you dropped
so very nice.
I'll hold your hand. Then just like
my mother will start to worry.
What's your
my father?
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I better scurry.
Oh, beautiful, please don't scurry.
Maybe just a half drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
So, one thing that was interesting, Barry didn't play piano for that then, huh?
No, he didn't. It was just the two of us sitting front and center.
Wow. I didn't realize that because all these years I thought Barry was playing the piano and you were kind of like standing, you know.
Mm-mm.
At the piano.
That's
you know,
way,
the hand on the piano thing or whatever. And
that's how he was able to lean in for a little smooch.
That is kind of cool. So after that, now you got to do a couple of other Christmas shows too, right?
I did another show in 2005, and that was where I was actually hiding in the wings. And Brian was playing Johnny Cash, and Mark was June Carter Cash, but I was being Mark's voice.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, there's Brian being Johnny Cash right there.
Yes.
Got a picture up right now.
Oh, my God.
And that...
He looks like more like Corey Feldman right there. I don't know why.
Johnny Cash and Corey Feldman had a child.
Yeah, and that's what
it is. And then
Thank
You Drive Through was our backup band. We had such a good time.
With Glenn Noyes, yeah.
Exactly.
I got to work with Glenn for a while because he and I both came from Guitar Center, so I got to work with Glenn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, really cool guy.
And then Brian and I think that New Year's went out to see them play and then did another rendition at New Year, you know, at midnight.
That is cool. Now, with that whole experience and everything that you got to do, obviously were doing very well for yourself overall.
Thank you.
You know, how much did this catapult you into with the industry or anything? Or, you know, were Mark and Brian the movers and shakers that they say that they were?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It was funny because nobody knew what I looked like. So if I went to an audition or something, if they saw it on my resume, they're like, oh, you're that girl. And there was a lot of that once I got in the room. It was more, I was getting more auditions from indies.
It opened up more doors for you then, basically.
It did. It did, absolutely. And I've actually had people come up to me over the years and tell me, oh, this is our favorite Christmas song. Our family listens to it every single Christmas. It's part of our tradition. Uh-huh. That's the kind of thing that warms your heart.
Yeah.
And I make my family listen to it every Christmas too.
As you should. Yeah. No, it's a, you know, it's a great thing. Now,
I don't, what year?
It was 92.
That's nice. So this was before Indecent Proposal.
No, it was I had already shot Indecent Proposal. But
oh, you had? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Good follow-up, Steve.
Yeah. Ooh.
Way to be on.
Crack reporting, you know. That's my partner there.
I love it.
So obviously, more doors got open for you because of it and everything overall, is what we were kind of talking about.
Yes.
What other experiences did it lead you to?
I think having the album come out was kind of another, I don't want to say pin in my cap, but I was actually performing musical theater when Ted, I was in Malta and I saw this email that said, hey, do you mind if we use this song for the Susan B. Komen Cancer Foundation album, The Little Drummer Boy?
Right.
And so that was also helpful. Just anything to put on your resume.
Right.
Because a lot of people heard that song and they continued to hear it over the years.
Right.
And then Mark and Brian kept bringing me back in for interviews.
And so, other things too and so forth.
Yeah. The Street Three Strangers.
Right, right.
No wedding.
You know, and that's the cool thing too, is that there's very few people that can say, you know, like I've called into the show a number of times, you know, so I can say, yeah, I was kind of part of this or that moment or whatever. But there's just certain defining moments in the Mark and Brian history of 25 years that very few people can say, yeah, that was me, you know, that I did that. And it's kind of cool to know because you and Keith Dion, you know, are a part of these charity CDs that are staples in Mark and Brian history. You know, of course, Keith Dion was the one where he pretended to be Gene Wilder with Tom Cruise. You know, and then now we've got you with Barry Manilow. You know, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, that's a big feather in your cap that I would definitely go.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to wave that baby no matter what.
You know, it's funny. American Idol approached me their first season. Somebody in the team, and they said, we'd like you to come in and sing to possibly be on the show.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't think how the heck they had gotten my name because I had been out touring.
Uh-huh.
It turns out Barry Manilow was working with them, with a lady, Deborah Bird, who was one of the original vocal coaches. And Barry told Deborah, oh, hey, there's this girl. You should call her.
Wow.
But they had a cutoff of like 23, 24
years
old. Yeah,
which is why they have now the voice, which there's no age or whatever. And
right.
They based on that.
So I was too old for American Idol the first year.
Yeah.
But
what is your take on those type of shows? Good, bad, indifferent, or?
Well, I happen to absolutely love American Idol this season. Uh-huh. It's the judges. Who doesn't love Luke Bryan?
Zach doesn't like Luke Bryan.
Oh,
at all.
My God, I love Luke Bryan.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. He doesn't. Okay. Don't know.
God, way to put me on the spot.
And Katy Perry, the three of them are so fabulous together. They really boost all the contestants, yet they give them
true criticism.
Genuine criticism that's going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched The Voice here and there when a friend has been on it, which I think is phenomenal. I mean, Kelly Clarkson being on there, the way she coaches and everything. All of the coaches, really.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I think the shows are phenomenal. You really do find some amazing performers. Let's be honest, some of them have come from a professional background.
Right.
And they kind of dumb it down and then bring it back up. But it really does give some people an amazing opportunity. And the cream always rises to the crop, to the top pretty quickly.
Do you think sometimes it's a little bit, with something like that, though, where because we, the audience or whatever, don't see that? Because I didn't realize how many people were professionals already coming into it and going, oh, well, they're cutting their teeth, you know, or have they cut their teeth, or how are they cutting their teeth, you know,
yes,
being out there. And all of a sudden they're thrown into this thing and the stardom, you know, how that affects them overall.
Well, I think as with any show, they kind of find their footing. I'll be honest, when Idol and America's Got Talent and The Voice all came out, they all went after the professionals who just didn't have a name brand yet.
Mm-hmm.
They came after all of us. Every single one of my friends, really? Friends have auditioned for all three of those shows, including me.
Wow.
Because they needed a tried and true true person who could actually deliver the goods on a consistent basis, which is what a professional is.
True.
I mean, mm-hmm. I've performed with 104, 105 fever, and nobody knew.
Right.
Because that's your job. So I think they've ebbed and flowed. They went a certain direction of then actually really looking for the diamond in the rough,
uh-huh,
and they didn't always win because that person couldn't ultimately deliver. I think they found a happy balance of people who were kind of on the verge and ready and discipline.
And then just kind of give them that little push that they needed. Then.
Yeah. If you've ever seen the Lady Gaga documentary, it really shows her discipline. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. So Mark and Brian go off the air and everything, and of course your career continues on. Then Mark comes back.
Yes.
And I thought this was really interesting because he was looking for somebody to sing the national anthem. And it came down to you, a professional singer. Go fig. And this young Marine.
Nick.
Nick.
Nick Cassis.
And, you know, and you and I talked about it off the air, you know, with it, and you kind of helped him out a little bit. And I'm like going, there's no competition here. Come on. Pamela's going to blow this kid out of the water. Are you kidding me? But he gave him some tips, and he actually got it. And I think hopefully he got some sympathetic vote, I think, being a Marine.
Yeah.
You know, not that I didn't want you to win again, you know, or anything like that. But they did something to you, both of you guys, basically.
Yes.
To kind of distract you, because this was for like one of those.
It was Monster Jam.
Monster Jam truck things that you love, Steve.
Oh, God, I love that.
And, you know, and whoever got the most votes would sing the national anthem at one of those. This is what, Anaheim Stadium, I think it was.
Like that. Yeah. And actually, I went to support Nick and actually loved Monster Jam.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So let's play Pamela's deal here, and this is with Mark in the Morning.
Oh, say,
turn this over,
can
too, please.
You see by the dawn's early
Steve, you're gonna get a kick out of this.
Light.
Just listen carefully.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose bright
Liberty Bell!
Stars through
Josh.
The perilous fight.
Oh, they're throwing streamers at me at this point.
Or the red
I love that. Women's suffrage.
Anything to distract me.
Yeah.
So gallant.
Bleeding the Fifth Amendment.
Silly stream.
And the rocket's red glare. Shalom. In a
Beltman there.
It was really hard not to laugh.
I just love how Josh is yelling different things out.
That totally would have been me.
And Nick was standing next to me, like dying with laughter. And the two of us are covered in streamers.
And silly string and whatever.
Silly string, streamer, everything.
And the
whole
God.
Oh, man.
Actually, is Silly String on my mixing board.
Okay, there is everything everywhere. And I'd like to, you know, I complimented Nick's focus. I'd like to compliment Pamela's.
Yes.
By while she was singing and while confetti was raining down, she was kind of brushing it off of her nonchalantly.
Gotta love Gina Grant.
And Nick is an L.A. County sheriff now.
Is he really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, my God. We had to play that because I'm just like thinking that was just way too good.
That's kind of fun.
We were listening to it because what's kind of cool is that I have all the shows of Mark in the Morning. I have every single one. And I was able to download it before they went off the air, basically. And now there's only a limited. It only goes back so far on iTunes now. And so recently, like last month or so, you know, I've been playing catch up on the shows. My son and I listened to it on the way to drop him off from school. This bit came on. My son was laughing so hard, and he's going, "What just happened? What am I listening to? What? Why?" You know. And so he was a little bit late or whatever because he wanted to go back, and we rewound the CD. And basically played it again, and he just had the giggles of what Josh was doing, you know, to both of you, you know. But I just love the part, women's suffrage. It's like, really, dude? Arena football.
Anything.
Wow. Anything to distract you. Oh, God, that was so good, though. It was just so good. What are some of your favorite memories outside of the obvious, though? That you could kind of talk about with Mark and Brian.
Wow. The Three Strangers and a Wedding was pure comedy.
Yeah.
And the best, actually, one of my favorite things was David Coverdale was there from Whitesnake.
Uh-huh.
And I went in the back. I woke up that morning ready to sing. I was like, yes, this is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I'm going to meet Whitesnake. And I go in the back green room, and there he is, just properly drinking some tea.
Tea, yeah. Well, like, he is British, so,
He is. And I literally looked at him. I said, wait, I thought this was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He goes, oh, no, my dear. Oh, no. I have to protect the voice.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
That was calm.
But after 12 p.m., hey, it's a different story. Because at that point, it's 5 o'clock anywhere.
Yes, it is. You know, I think as with everybody, Mark and Brian became part of the fabric of your morning.
Yeah.
And just your radio clock turns on and that's your alarm to them laughing and doing sketches. I really missed being able to tune into them in the morning because it was such a great way to laugh. And it was like walking into Cheers. Everybody knew your name. You turned them on and that familiarity was just so, I don't know, comfortable and
I think
wonderful.
That was the one thing that got California to them is because when they first started, it was like, what are these guys doing? But their own inner selves kept coming through what they were doing. And people went, you know, that's kind of cool. And
yes.
Yeah.
And Brian is such an amazing writer and improver, all of it.
You know, it was really interesting because when they first came on the air, and I did this when I did Mark's introduction when Mark was on the show with us. And he was nice enough actually to come on our anniversary show, our 1 year anniversary. So like, I thought that was really nice of him to do. Was that the first time I saw them was one of their TV promos and where they're shaking hands, you know, it's a secret handshake that they did. And of course, the last thing they do is bump their heads and fall down. And I'm going, really? How stupid is that, you know? And I'm going, no, I'm not going to listen to these guys. They're freaking idiots. No. So I started listening to pirate radio instead, you know, basically. So, and it wasn't until I think my second year in college, which was 89, that I started to go, because I think things were happening with Michael Scott Shannon and his ratings started to drop because of a certain billboard incident or whatever. And where people, the Latin market was calling him El Diablo. So he embraced it and was running with that. And they were kind of doing commercials of like, well, listen to El Diablo, Michael Scott Shannon. And his ratings just went down for whatever reason. So at that point, I slowly then started to skip over to KLOS and start to listen to Mark and Brian. And after about maybe a couple of weeks, I kind of went, okay, I get these guys now.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, they're still idiots, but in a good way, you know. And, of course, through the years, I got to go to some of the parades. Got to go to the one in Orange.
I actually didn't know they had parades. You talked about
that,
and I had completely forgotten.
Yeah, because they did the Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving Day parades. There's one they did in Orange, which was the time period when Tom Hanks was filming That Thing You Do. So they had to schedule everything around that. They also did a Halloween parade in downtown Fullerton where the Tubes played.
Right.
Yeah, so we went to that. My wife and I got to go to the first couples night. Remember how they did Do Night and Chick Night?
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to the first couples one, which was Sexpo. And then we got to go do another one at the Grove in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And everything. And my wife actually got up and danced, so which was kind of cool. And
nice.
Got to flash everybody too. I'm like, yeah. All right. So that was fun. So you know, you're right. You know, you get involved with the things, and then you get involved, and because of those events that we went to, we got to know Tito, Ernesto, Priva, you know, and to the point where they became family and everything. And where there was one point where I called in to win tickets to try and see Bon Jovi because Bon Jovi was coming. So this is 2000. And I didn't get on the air in time. And so Priva comes back to me and is kind of like, she goes, I'm sorry, you know, the guys are going off. I said, Priva, don't worry about it. I'll try calling tomorrow. And she goes, well, you said this is Sean, right? And I said, yeah. She goes, which Sean is this? I said, well, it's Sean Roberts. How's Karen? I said, great. She goes, so everybody's doing well? I said, oh, yeah, we're doing fine. Everything. She goes, well, you guys are coming.
That is.
I'm like, Priva,
awesome.
I can't do that. I said, come on. She goes, okay, fine. Answer me this question. She gives me some stupid trivia question. She goes, like, what's John Bon Jovi's first name? I'm like, John. You know, she goes, okay, you guys won. You coming. You know, and she was just so sweet, you know. And so we made sure that when we went there, we gave her a bouquet of flowers as a thank you, you know, because she really
so
didn't
nice
have to do that.
Yeah.
So if you look right up there on this little shorter wall, Pam, mm-hmm. you'll see John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora.
Yes.
That is because of Priva. So, and we had John sign one ticket and Richie sign the other ticket.
That is so cool.
You know, and we wouldn't have had that experience.
They really became a family.
They did.
Even just amongst all the listeners.
Yes.
And I don't really know if a lot of morning programs have created that family atmosphere. That, you know what I mean?
I think you do mm-hmm. to a degree because you work together, but I don't think it has solidified as strong as what Mark and Brian had.
With their listeners.
With their listeners,
yes.
And just the people who worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a thing. And
I
and,
still go to Ted's party, Christmas party every year, and there's...
Well, you're walking distance, though.
I am. Ted and I shop at the same Trader Joe's. But, I mean, he still has past employees from KLOS coming to his Christmas party. And you get to see each other once a year. If
anything, that's and, great, though.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's just it, is that you have the sense of togetherness no matter what, you know. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's what we try to do here and try to do. And a lot of people have been complimentary to us, you know, on that. And, you know, Brian was very grateful of doing what we do, you know, and that we chose their show. And, you know, we got the compliment from Mark Bonilla also and everything. He goes, uh-huh. you know, when we're not just answering a question, because, like, believe me, I've done a lot of interviews, and you know, we're actually having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, exactly, you know, we're getting along, we're moving things along and so forth and everything. So it's kind of cool to have that, you know. So any other memories for you that kind of stand out the most?
Do you mean memories just in
general, behind the scenes, anything, any good stories, any gossip?
Oh, gossip.
No, I'm just kidding.
The gossip, I don't know if I can say on there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if I should say this.
Uh-oh. Brian, call in, quick.
No, yes, yeah. Brian, yeah. Save me. Where are you?
should I text Brian right now? Because we both have his numbers, so.
I will tell you that Three Strangers in the Wedding was so interesting because somebody gave my phone number to the groom.
Oh.
And he called me and I thought.
Oh, you gotta tell this story. This is funny.
I was like, he walks up to me. He's like, hey, can I get your number? And I laughed at first. I was with the other girls that I had sung backup for Whitesnake. And we laughed at first. And then he was serious. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this guy is hammered. And I walked away. And about a week later, he calls me. I'm like, who gave you my number? I said, you're a married man. Like, buzz off.
Supposedly already, you know.
Right. Well, they evidently got it annulled like that. Day,
afternoon.
That after, yeah, whatever it was. And
it was three weddings and a funeral. Was that what it was? Three weddings?
That's awesome. Three weddings and a funeral.
Funeral. Yeah.
Three strangers.
Yeah, there you go. Close enough. I was close.
It was a funeral, let me tell you.
Yeah. That was like the most unique thing they've ever done, the most awkward thing they've ever done, the most disastrous thing at the same token, and yet we all. Listened.
We were riveted.
We were.
And everybody wanted to know what he looked like, what she looked like. Yes. And she was a pretty cool girl.
Uh-huh.
Very pretty. I'm going to be honest. He was kind of a douchebag.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocking. I know. I think he was really good on paper.
And that's about it.
Yes, exactly.
Two-dimensional. Let's keep it that way. Wow. Well, that's cool. Well, you know, we're so glad to have you here, and we're going to do something after the show to where Pamela is going to sing for us, actually, on Facebook Live. So she's going to do that for us. She's warming up and everything and so forth.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
If I can. Sitting here watching you and listening, you have a very up comedic, happy side. And I was just kind of wondering, did you have that all your life, or did you get that in your comedic training experiences? What?
Well, thank you for that. I have had a lot of comedic training through Second City and through shows. I think it's a zest for life that I picked up in Hawaii, to be honest.
That'd be a great place. I always tell people,
I'm a Hawaii girl at heart. I know I was born in California, but I'm a Hawaii girl. And we're happy. We like life. We enjoy life, and I make fun. Everywhere I go, I make things fun because.
Yeah, because when I went out to go meet her at the car, you know, and go out and get her because she goes, "I'm here." She's like undoing her skirt and like I'm like, wow.
I was retying it.
She was retying her skirt or whatever, what have you, you know, and she's opening it up. I'm like,
no.
Wow. And I kind of yelled back at the house, "Honey, my wish is coming true."
But thank you.
I enjoy that because that's what we like to see. We enjoy that. our group of friends who has dwindled because of cancer, but we used to sit around like this and laugh and talk and just have a good time. And it's great to have you come in and just fit right into that.
Thank you.
A lot of fun.
You know, life truly is what you make of it. You get to make your own memories, which is why I'm going to, you know, create my birthday watching the sunset in a really cool country. So,
which is really beautiful, I hear. I've seen pictures of Cambodia.
Yeah.
You know, other than that was where war was. But it's a beautiful, the whole area there.
Angkor Wat was preserved for so long because there were landmines around it. Eventually, over time, they got rid of the landmines and then uncovered. Literally, there were some people who came through the jungle and there was this massive temple. I mean, it's huge.
Wow.
And people had almost forgotten about it, or the locals didn't speak of it. So it was quite a find after demining the place.
Wow, amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
That's going to be cool. That's going to be a fun trip. If you need a partner, you know, just tag along.
Yeah,
let me know.
Someone carry your bags
for you.
Do you have traveling companions, people you go with, or do you do this all alone?
I go all by myself, put on my little backpack, and walk out that door.
That's awesome. She's an independent woman.
I love her more now.
I think it's great. I have a general guideline when I do these trips. I've done a lot of them. I mean, I went backpacking in the Middle East. I went backpacking through South America. You just get your backpack.
Try in East LA. It's a little bit different.
I'll try.
Yeah.
I'll probably make friends there, too. Huh. And you just, you kind of have a general plan, and then you sort of get lost and find your way back. It's the best, because that's where you meet the people. I always say, you got to get your feet dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You got to meet the people, try the food, ask directions, because then suddenly they tell you about a better place to go than the tourist place that you read about.
Yeah. That was kind of the concept of Anthony Bourdain. Mm-hmm. Anthony? Who's
Anthony
Bourdain. His show was like that, where he would find these places that people wouldn't really go to and show how beautiful they were and the people were.
So I'm actually shooting a pilot in the beginning of May.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about that then.
So it's a travel show that will be based, just to start, in California. And it's all the little pocket neighborhoods. I'm kind of combining two things.
Okay.
The pocket neighborhoods of California, because there are so many. You go to El Segundo alone, which you drive through El Segundo. You don't think of going there. There's
very true. I work there, so I know. Yeah.
There is an automotive museum and a silent theater. And there's, it was really kind of populated a long time ago when Chevron came in. And there's a lot of remnants of that. And then I'm also going to take a little bit of the flavorings of Jonathan Gold, who was the New York Times food critic.
Okay.
And he he had such a great movie, and I got to fortunately meet him before he passed. He said that you could almost go around the entire world in food here in California alone.
Oh, yeah.
So in the show, we'll be exploring. It's called Eat, Drink, Play, and Stay. And California.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at all these little pockets of food, of culture, and these neat little things that people don't even know exist in California. The oldest tree in the world is right here in California.
Yeah.
So we start shooting that at the beginning of May, and it will be on Jewel TV, which is a network on Roku. Cool. And be streaming.
Very cool. Well, let us know so we can help promote that and everything and put links on and all that stuff. Absolutely.
And I also have two more things coming up.
Sure. Talk about them.
Sure. I have Just Roll With It, an episode of Just Roll With It, which will be on the Disney Channel coming out this summer. It's a kids sort of SNL.
Oh,
and
cool.
I am singing with my gospel choir, nice. Unity Inspirational Choir. And also a movie called Proximity. That will be out in theaters. I think it will be later this year.
So it's kind of like in the same area?
Proximity, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's an interesting film. It's kind of, thank you, it took me a second. I don't want to say it's an alien movie, but somebody's abducted and they come back and everything that they have to do to prove that it actually happened to them. And I play a news reporter.
Oh, cool.
Like a Diane Sawyer. Which
type.
I heard that movie. It's supposed to be really interesting.
Yes. And then I have another film that I'm the lead in that will be hitting festivals later this year, beginning of next year, called In the Underside.
Cool. How often do you go to the festivals yourself, though? I mean, do you get a chance to go out?
I sometimes go to festivals when I have had, I've had three films in festivals.
Uh-huh.
The first one I sold at the Cannes, it's Marché. That one I went to at least 10 festivals over a course of 11 months because you're hustling your film.
Yeah, you are.
So Sundance, Cannes, Palm Springs, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not a carpet salesman, but I mean, you're like a car salesman going buyer to buyer. I ended up selling it to What Media out of Canada, but you do anything to get an audience with these people to sell.
So. Yeah, we heard all about that, the festival circuit from Justin and Paul.
Yeah, it's of ours.
Friends of ours make movies.
I'll tell you, I think the most fun is at Sundance, or it used to be the parties and the swag that you would get.
Ooh.
Hey.
It is just 10 days of pure fun.
Nice.
And Cannes is pretty great. And with Cannes, I got to walk the red carpet and wear one of those gazillion-dollar dresses. So a girl doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you're in France. I mean, hello.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually went out to dinner that night by myself after it was maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And I sat for about half an hour, and I finally had to ask the guy. I said, can I please order? And they were so bothered that a woman would be eating alone. They almost didn't want to serve me.
It wow!
Was so random. I was like, no, I got the dress on. Let's eat.
Yeah, come on, boys. Let's go. Serve it up.
I'm hungry.
But I have a couple upcoming things, and I'm always keeping my fingers in,
cool,
in lots of different pots.
Well, let us know. You know, you've got my number too, and everything. You know how to get a hold of. So let me know. Send me the links and everything. Whatever, we'll post them. We'll promote the hell out of them as much as we can for you too.
Thank you.
So absolutely, absolutely. Well, before we end the interview, we would like to do something that Mark started a while ago, which is doing the island questions. So we're going to ask these questions with you and have some fun with it, and then we'll play our game after that. So, Pamela, you're going to be on a deserted island for the rest of your life. Now you're retiring.
Yes.
You know, out there in the bikini the way you do, looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Golden hair,
mm-hmm,
streaming down, Mai Tai, pina colada.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever you want, your choice. But you can only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Oh, gosh. My first thought was Snickers.
Ah, okay.
Snickers or Twix, yeah. I'll go with,
ooh,
Snickers.
Ooh, Twix, okay. But Snickers?
Yes.
Okay. That's like the second one. We always get either Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or Snickers.
Oh, I do like Reese's Peanut. Well, I like all of them. Good day.
Anytime you get a Snickers, it's a good day. Yes. So, yeah. You can only take one album with you. What would it be?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to take a Judy Garland album because then I can sing all I want on the island as loud as I want. Either Judy Garland or Barbara Streisand.
And, of course, the Jackson family right now is going, oh, my God,
no!
What happened to Aretha?
Okay, maybe Aretha. How about Women's Greatest Singers?
There you go.
Right. World's Greatest Women Singers.
There you go. You can only take one movie with you. What would it be?
Love Actually.
Oh.
I love
That's
that
That's a good
movie.
Choice. That's a good one.
Yes, got it. Yeah.
That's a good one. What type of food would you take on the island?
Kraft macaroni and cheese.
That's it?
Well,
mac and cheese.
Kraft macaroni and cheese and a Hostess cupcake.
And a Hostess cupcake. All right. All right. Okay. You can take one person with you for conversation's sake. It can't be your significant other. And, of course, the person could be dead or alive. And, of course, if they were dead, they would be alive in their prime.
It can be anybody?
Anybody for conversation's sake.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. My sister.
Your sister?
Yeah. Aww.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys are close, though. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The conversation would never end.
That's true. Between sisters. Okay. And last one here. You could take... Actually, I got two more because I thought of another one the other day. You could take one person for sexual gratification. Again, dead or alive. Cannot be your significant other.
Brian.
Brian, really?
There it is. Uh-oh.
Let's call Brian.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Brian.
Right now. Mr. Oh. Phelps. Wow, Brian, huh? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, she is blushing
right now.
There's a revelation.
Yeah, but is it really?
No. He was the first person that came to mind.
Right, all right. Very cool. Okay, we got to text Brian, let him know. All right, we got to separate that answer there for us. If there was one thing in your childhood that you could go back and do over again, what would it be?
Wow, that is a good one. You want the first thing that came to my mind?
Sure.
I auditioned for Annie. I totally blew the audition.
The film?
No. Oh. The Broadway show.
The Broadway show.
I would say that I would have prepared for that. But then again, you know what? I have to say there's nothing. Because if I did anything over, I wouldn't be here today.
Uh-huh.
And I like where I'm at. I really firmly believe that. There's been some bumps in the road.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't take any of them away.
Wow. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've thought about this a lot recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
That's
right here.
That's good. Awesome. Awesome to hear. Well, again, our guest today has been Pamela Holt, and she has a song and called The Man with the Bag. And again, it's available on iTunes right now. And all the profits go to the families affected by the California wildfires that we've had recently. So, and of course, it is a Christmas song because it's about Santa Claus.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is the man who wrote this, Irving Taylor, he lived in Westlake Village where the fire started, which is why I picked the song. And I was born in Westlake Village, and I was out helping sift through the ashes with the family. So That's why.
So the song's close to you then.
Yeah.
So go find it on iTunes again, even though we're in the middle of what, April right now, almost Easter. Go get this Christmas song. It's a really, really good song. We played it during our Christmas shows and everything, and it's really good. And again, 100% of the proceeds go to the families affected by those wildfires and everything. So, Pamela, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This has been fun. Absolutely.
I've been in the room.
And give us probably about maybe 15 minutes or so, because then we're going to be jumping on to Facebook. But before we leave, we're going to be doing the game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for the new game show sweeping the nation, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
All right, Pamela, so all of us are going to be playing here. You'll be playing against myself and Steve, and Zach's going to be reading the questions. Again, yes. Name is your buzzer. It's just simple potpourri of trivia questions.
Potpourri. Potpourri. I like that word.
Can't even spell potpourri. Okay. Everyone ready? Question number one. Game show voice time. How much does a liter of water weigh?
Sean.
Sean.
1.5 pounds.
Incorrect.
I was going to say a pound.
Incorrect.
Steven. 4 pounds.
Incorrect on everyone. Congratulations, you all got it wrong. The answer is 1 kilogram.
Noted.
Oh, what?
All right.
Noted for the future.
That's like 2.5. 2.2, something
like
that.
If we're splitting hairs here, question number two. The beaver is the national emblem of which country?
Pamela. Is it Canada?
Correct.
Yay.
Ding.
Wow.
She is on the board, and we are going for question number three. Sorry, I interrupted you, Sean. Sean. Excuse me. What country gave Florida to the United States in 1881? Sean.
Spain.
Correct. I can feel the energy in this room. Question number four.
We're pensive.
Name the biggest island of the world.
Pamela. Crap.
Sean.
That is not the answer.
No. New Zealand.
That is also not the answer.
Sean. Australia.
Still not the answer.
It's not an island.
Yeah, but it's also an island, though. It's surrounded by water.
That is true, but that is not the answer that I am looking
for. It's not referred to as an island.
Oh, God.
The
biggest island, then?
Steve. There's a time limit.
Sean.
Wait, what was Steve's answer?
Florida.
No.
Sean. Japan.
No.
Cuba.
Pamela. No.
Steve.
Steve.
Madagascar.
No.
Sean.
Sean.
South Pasadena.
You googled it by now.
No. The answer, of course, is Greenland, with an area of 2,131 square kilometers.
I'm going to be looking that up later.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, I'll give you something a little easy. Question number five. Who is the wife of Barack Obama?
Steve. Sean.
Steve.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Michelle Obama.
That's correct. Okay.
If you got that one wrong.
What is John Bon Jovi's first name?
Did you have some edibles too?
Bon. No, John. Darn.
Good for it. Okay, question number six. The average human body contains how many pints of blood?
Pamela. 16?
Incorrect.
Pamela.
Again.
Eight.
Correct. Just go down the countdown just like the sound you hear right here.
Steve. 9.
That is actually correct.
Yeah. 9.
Nice.
Good job.
You know what? I got numbers all over the place. What question am I on?
Seven.
Seven. Question
the
number
next question.
The next question. Which state is known as the Empire State?
Pamela. New York?
That's so easy. Anyone could do it. Question number eight. I love my game show voice.
So do I.
A little annoying to us, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, your face. Which U.S. state is nearest to the old Soviet Union?
Pamela.
Sean.
Pamela?
Alaska.
Correct. Nope, that's the wrong button. That's the right one.
Pamela's on a roll, man.
I lost count. I think Pamela's winning.
Pamela's kicking her ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think she's way ahead.
I'm going to break my character. I think she's gotten like five already.
Something like that.
Ooh. All right. Which question was I on number was?
Nine.
Question number nine. What is Chandler's last name in Friends?
Sean.
Sean.
List.
Steve.
Is it Chandler's List?
No. Chandler's List. That's
Chandler's
it.
List.
Yeah.
Pamela.
You got it.
Chandler Bing.
Correct.
Yay. Oh. I didn't even watch that show, but I remember that.
Okay, now for the final one, and it's already a landslide victory from Pamela, but let's do question number 10 anyway. Which is the highest waterfall in the world?
Pamela. Oh.
Pamela?
Come on, you were there last week.
Gosh, I jumped off it. Hold on. It's in Zimbabwe, and it's called Vic Falls.
Nope.
Mm.
Woo. Oh. So it wasn't the highest then.
No, Steve.
They lied to you. Steve. Maybe in Zimbabwe it was the highest.
Is this thing on? I keep saying my name.
Yeah.
Nobody here.
We hear you.
I said you're... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Angel Falls.
No.
Oh, down in...
Venezuela, I think.
Wait. Steve?
Yes?
You got half the answer correct.
It's in Venezuela.
Yes, but what's it called?
I thought it was Angel.
That's it, yes.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
oh, you did?
The first time.
Then this is for me.
Oh, all right. Well,
I thought Angel Falls was in Uruguay, just above Argentina.
Now you take a left at Albuquerque to get there, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I like that game.
El Diablo Falls.
I'm out of breath.
This has been
you.
Really fun. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you
so much for coming on.
Thank you
a great time.
Who knew a Saturday morning could be so much fun?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And again, give us about 15 minutes or so in go to our Facebook Live, Your Weekly Dose, and you'll see Pamela singing a beautiful song. She's so nervous. You're going to be fine.
It's morning.
You'll be fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's always fun to sing your face off at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
11 a.m.
I try to do it every day.
Do you?
I do.
How's that? Yeah. How's that work out for you?
Not
it
at
doesn't.
All.
Yeah, we tell them to shut the hell up. You know.
There's a restraining order in your Belinda.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys. Well, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, find us at yourweeklydose1.
My Twitter for my one... tweet a week is at Silva Lining 69.
Twitter, Instagram at Z Tegen. That's Z T E I G E N.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I made it easy for everybody. It's simply Sean Roberts HC. Pamela, where can people find you at?
You can find me at Pamela Holt on Twitter and Instagram. And also for Facebook, it's Pamela Holt Actress.
Because she's an actress.
Yes.
And apparently you can get a hold of her phone number and just call her out of the blue.
Why not?
Yeah.
Silly
exactly.
Not to, really. Call me. All right.
There you go.
My little blondie moment.
It works. Hey, it works. All righty, guys. Thank you so much for listening again. Catch us here in about 15 minutes. We'll be on Facebook Live. And next week, Steve will be out. You'll be in Utah, but you'll be calling
yes.
in.
I'll be calling in.
Probably real quick.
Hopefully, if I remember.
Yeah. Of course, we've got Larry Saltis calling in from Ohio, one of the new monkeys, talking about his new band, Color Vine.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be a fun interview with Larry. All right, guys, take care. Have a good one.
Goodbye, world.
This just did on the Mark and Brian News Desk.
Mark and Brian return to KLOS.
Thursday, April 25th, 3 to 7.
Mark and Brian. Pull your pants up.
A miniature fan, huh?
I am Fabio.
You are sick.
I love my family.
Woohoo! Mark and Brian are coming back.
Really?
It's really happening. The KLOS 50th Anniversary Mark and Brian Reunion Show.
Cody. You know, we're doing about the drunken dreaming thing.
The KLOS 50th Anniversary Mark and Brian Reunion Show. Thursday, April 25th, 3 to 7.
Is this really Mark and Brian?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
On the Rock of Southern California.
95.5 KLOS.
Brought to you by your Southern California Toyota dealers. We make it easy.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon.
Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.